Hello, and it is good to have you with us today. I was sitting and thinking earlier this morning about just the sheer weight of everything going on around us. You look at the news or you just listen to conversations in your own town, and it's undeniable that we're living in a dark world. It feels like the pressure is mounting, doesn't it?
It is a heavy season, no doubt about it. And that's exactly why the material we're looking at today feels so necessary. It's not just interesting, it feels urgent.
So what are we getting into?
We're going to be walking through a message that was delivered just this past Wednesday, February 4th, by Brother Steve at New Life Benson.
Okay, that's right. This is from his series on 1 John, Lesson 50. And the title of the message was Our Purifying Hope.
It was.
And I have to say, before we even get into the theology, which fair warning, it does get pretty deep today, I really appreciated the setting of this
Little
message.
context, you mean?
Yes, reading through it, you don't get the sense of a sterile lecture hall. You get the immediate feel of a family.
You really do. It grounds the whole discussion. I mean, you have these specific prayer requests for Maeve, the new great-granddaughter. Just so much joy there.
It's wonderful. And then prayers for the Sunday school teachers. It's just a reminder that real theology, it doesn't happen in a textbook. It happens in a community with real
And
people.
real humor, too. That announcement about cowboy ministries.
Oh, that was great. There was some genuine confusion about what actually happens at a cowboy dance. Brother Steve was asking if they line dance.
And then just tells him to shake a tail feather or something.
Shake a tail feather. It was a lighthearted moment, but I think you're right to bring it up. It establishes who this message is for. It's for the body of Christ gathered together.
But then the tone shifts, and it shifts significantly. He gives a very specific warning right at the start.
He does. He tells the congregation this is not an easy lesson. He actually warns them to get mentally prepared because he's about to challenge that modern, maybe slightly watered-down Christianity we see so often.
He certainly does. He sets the stage by asking a core question that I think every believer needs to be wrestling with. How do we live holy lives in a world that absolutely hates holiness?
And to answer that, he says we have to look at our motives, what actually drives us to be pure. This is where we get into our first major topic, really, the modals for holiness. And Brother Steve, he highlights two distinct pillars here. The first one is fear.
And that is a word that has fallen out of fashion in a lot of churches. We don't like to talk about fear.
We don't. We prefer words that feel, I don't know, softer.
But Steve is very clear. If we call a holy God our Father, we should conduct ourselves with fear. Now, we need to be precise here. He's not talking about the terror of a victim. He's talking about the healthy, reverent respect a child has for a loving but just parent. Specifically, the fear of God's chastening.
His discipline.
Exactly. If there is sin in our lives, we should expect, and yes, even fear his discipline.
But he balances that immediately with the second motive, which is hope. And again, this isn't just a vague, I hope the weather is nice.
No, this is the specific hope of the second coming. Correct. And this brings us to the real crux of the lesson, this purifying effect of hope. There's a direct connection between what we believe about the future and how we act today. Brother Steve quotes a concept that I think is really worth writing down. He says, "True believers believe the right thing about themselves and their sin."
That is a powerful statement. It implies that you can't just have the theology stored away in your head. It has to actually change how you see your own behavior.
It has to. And he ties this directly to judgment. We often think of judgment strictly in terms of,
Heaven or hell.
right, heaven or hell. But Steele brings up 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. The goal is to have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
That word ashamed is sobering. He explains that for the believer, this judgment isn't about salvation in the sense of condemnation.
It's about rewards.
Yes. And he shared a thought that might make some listeners uncomfortable, but it's right there in the text. He said that sin can actually cancel out eternal rewards.
That stopped me in my tracks when I read it. I mean, think about that. It's not just about getting through the pearly gates. It's about the loss of reward for how we lived.
He emphasized that this life, it's just a vapor, a breath, but the next life, that is forever, and we have to live for that one.
Precisely. If we are focused on making the most of this life, building our little kingdoms here, we're missing the point. Our hope in the second coming should purify us because we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
So, if the motive is this mix of holy fear and purifying hope, then the method, the how-to, brings us to our second topic. This is the theology of abiding.
Right.
And abide is one of those words we hear in church, but we don't necessarily use it in our daily conversations.
It is an older word, certainly. Huh. But Brother Steve breaks it down beautifully. In the Greek, the word is meno. And it isn't some mystical, you know, upper-level spiritual experience.
That only the super Christians get.
Exactly. Yeah. It simply means to stay, to remain, or to continue.
I love how he demystifies that. It's not about a feeling. It's about sticking with it. He goes back to John 15 to explain this. The vine and the branches.
That's the classic illustration. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches.
Huh.
And Spieth points out the requirement here. If a branch does not abide, if it doesn't stay connected, it withers.
And what happens to withered branches? They're thrown into the fire. That's a hard image.
It is, but it connects to what he calls the hard truth of conversion.
Yeah.
He says real conversion is about staying power.
Mm.
It's about endurance.
He references 1 John 2.1 Hail, which is a verse that answers so many questions people have when they see someone walk away from the faith.
It really does. The verse says, they went out from us because they were not of us.
So the argument is that if someone leaves the faith completely, and we're not talking about struggling or stumbling here.
No, no, totally walking away.
Then the biblical conclusion is that they were never the real thing to begin with.
That is correct. However, Steve makes a very important distinction here that I think offers a lot of comfort. He says Christians may doubt. We all doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians do not deny. And there's a massive difference between struggling with questions and denying the Lord who bought you.
That's a key distinction.
It is. If you abide, you remain connected to the truth and the gospel you heard from the beginning. You don't go looking for a new, trendy gospel. You stick with the original message.
This leads us right into the third topic, which Stitt himself called the thinking hat section.
Yes, he did.
He actually told the congregation to put on their thinking hats because he was about to step into some deep theological waters. Sovereignty versus responsibility.
This is the age-old tension, isn't it? And I really appreciate Steve's honesty here. He brings up the balance. Salvation is a sovereign act of God. It's predetermined, but it involves the will of the person being saved. You can't have one without the other.
And he made a personal confession, which was interesting. He said he isn't a strict Calvinist anymore. His reasoning was based on the biblical warnings.
It's a very logical point he raises. He asks, why are there warnings to abide if we have no choice? I mean, if everything is just a robotic script, why does the Bible plead with us to remain faithful?
So what's the answer?
Steve argues that those warnings are there to energize the Holy Spirit within us.
So the warning itself is the tool God uses to keep us safe.
Exactly. It's a formula he discussed. God remains faithful to produce fruit in the believer, but the believer must remain faithful to the truth. It's a relationship.
It's both.
It's both. We are secure in God's plan. But that security is not separate from our faithfulness.
He used a great analogy for this, the Coca-Cola analogy.
It's the real thing.
The real thing. It sounds simple, but it fits perfectly. John is telling the church to prove they are the real thing by remaining. If you're real Coke, you taste like Coke. If you're a real Christian.
You remain. You abide. It's that staying power. Again, it's not about how high you jumped when you got saved. It's about whether you're walking straight today.
And that concept of walking straight brings us to the practical application. I mean, you can't just talk about abiding in the abstract. It has to look like something.
Right. And for Brother Steve and for the Apostle John, it looks like obedience.
This is where the rubber meets the road. He discussed the link between love and obedience. He quoted the scripture saying, whoever abides in him does not sin. Now, we need to clarify that. He doesn't mean we never make a mistake.
No, not at all. He was very clear that this refers to an unbroken pattern of sin, a lifestyle of sin.
Yeah.
If you're abiding in Christ, you cannot be comfortable living in habitual sin. It doesn't work.
Okay.
And the biggest test of this, according to the source, is love. Specifically, loving the brethren.
Yeah.
Loving the people in the church.
It's the ultimate test. He says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. That's strong language. And eternal life does not abide in a murderer.
You can't claim to love God, whom you haven't seen, if you hate your brother, whom you have seen. It's that simple.
This naturally led to a question from the congregation. A man named Tony asked something that I think a lot of people wonder about in our modern era.
Yes.
He asked, can you abide if you leave the church?
And Brother Steve didn't hesitate, not for a second. His answer was, no, do not forsake the assembly.
And this is a tough one for people today because we have so many options. We have podcasts, we have YouTube, TV preachers. But Steve was adamant about the difference between content and fellowship.
He specifically mentioned watching on TV. Mm-hmm. He said it does not count as church because there is no fellowship. Now, he made an exception for those who are physically unable.
Of course.
Like the woman with cancer they prayed for. Mm-hmm. God understands physical limitations. Mm. But for the able-bodied, isolation is dangerous.
He said something that really stuck with me. He said, in a dark world, we have made it socially acceptable to be Christians who don't go to church. He argues that weakens us.
It cuts us off from God's provision. The church is where we practice that love we just talked about.
Yeah.
You can't love the brethren if you never see the brethren. You can't bear one another's burdens if you're sitting alone on your couch.
Abiding involves the body of Christ.
It has to. In a world that is getting darker, we need the friction and the support of real in-person community to keep our lights burning.
It's a countercultural message for sure, but it aligns perfectly with that theme of staying power. Staying involves staying present.
It does. And as the message wrapped up, Steve shared a story that I think perfectly encapsulates what this real thing is all about.
You mean the two young men, the wee kid and his friend?
Yes. These two young guys just showed up at church, didn't know the rituals, didn't know the protocol. They actually went up to ask about taking the Lord's Supper, not realizing you usually do that after you've made a profession of faith.
And I love how Steve handled it. He didn't give them a theology exam on Calvinism versus Arminianism.
No.
He didn't ask them to recite the history of the church. He asked them one question.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That is the bottom line. It all comes down to that.
And when they realized they hadn't really taken that step, Steve introduced them to Jesus right there. And one of them was so excited, he went outside and called his mom immediately.
That's the beauty of it. We can talk about the deep theology of abiding and sovereignty, and we should. But it starts with that simple, childlike faith. Do you believe?
It brings us right back to the hope we started with. That hope isn't some complex academic structure. It's a person. It's Jesus.
Mm.
And our purifying hope is that we will see him.
Mm.
So, as we wrap this up, let's bring it back to you, the listener. What does this all mean for you today?
Brother Steve reminded us that we are secure in God's plan, but not apart from our faithfulness. It's a call to examine our own walk.
I would encourage you to ask yourself, are you abiding?
Mm.
Are you just kind of floating near the vine? Or are you truly connected? Are you drawing life from the source? And are you connected to a body of believers?
That's the question. If you've drifted away, if you've let that socially acceptable isolation creep in, maybe it's time to go back.
In the words of Brother Steve regarding those cowboys, maybe it's time to shake a tail feather.
I think that is a great way to put it. Get moving. Get back into fellowship. Because the days are short and the world is dark. But the hope we have is bright and purifying.
Amen to that. We want to thank you for joining us on this look into Brother Steve's message. We hope it challenged you and maybe encouraged you to take that next step in your own faith.
Stay faithful and stay connected.
We will see you next time. Goodbye.